Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Singing Alleluia. Singing Alleluia. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Singing Alleluia. Singing Alleluia. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Lift your hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Singing Alleluia. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord. Singing Alleluia. Jesus, glory to the Lamb of God. sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way, hey, I feel. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, come. Now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. When every tongue will confess you are God, when every knee will bow, till the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. When every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow to the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Oh, come. When every tongue will confess you are God, when every knee will bow to the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. When every tongue will confess you are God, when every knee will bow to the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come. Come. lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you are my life. So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you are my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you are my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt you paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Good morning, everybody. So this morning, Brother Davey was talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to read it because it ties into something that I saw over the last week or two that, well, it just ties together. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That charity is agape love. I wasn't following the Pope's visit, or the poop as we like to call him, his visit. But I did see a few things on Facebook that really struck me. One of which was the Pope in a procession walking up to somebody in a wheelchair and quote unquote blessing the person in the wheelchair. That really stood out to me. Because when you read the Bible, you see people healed. You see people delivered. You see people freed. And when people came to be around Jesus, they came for the deliverance, the healing, the power of God being ministered unto them. Scripture that has been on my mind a lot this week is Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This isn't the one. Yes, it is. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I didn't see the Pope lay hands on anybody, and they recover. He blessed them, whatever that means. Because to me, a blessing would be, rise up and walk, and that person gets up and walk. That's a blessing. That's something worth talking about. That's these signs shall follow them that believe. Anybody can bless, quote unquote, someone. Anyone can say something that seems like a nice prayer to somebody. But without the action, without the power of God manifesting in the situation, what difference is he from anyone in the world? What difference is there between so-called Christians and everybody else in the world? And yet this man, dressed in this white outfit, people throng around him. There were hundreds of thousands of people who came out in droves to see him. I haven't heard of one testimony on the news or anywhere that he prayed for someone and they were healed. But I see the word of God preach that that is how it should be. I want what Jesus did. I don't care about the Pope. I don't care about how he does things. I care about Jesus and his ways. And I want that. I want to walk knowing that when I pray for someone, I can trust that God's going to heal them, deliver them, that he will manifest himself, that it be not to my glory, but to his. Because otherwise, I am no different than anyone else. It's been on my heart a lot this week, seeing the Pope and wondering how many times have I prayed and not believed, either for myself or for others? I am no different, and I need to be different. If you see that in yourself, if you see that you need to be different, set about to find out how you get to that point. Brother Davies' message this morning on charity and on love, that's the start of it. That is the key to it. All these little petty grievances do not matter, but Jesus and his ways matter.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending on where you are. So let's see. Let's go to 1 John. Go to chapter 4. And we'll get to verse 7 here in a moment. There is no justification for someone who claims to be a believer to not walk in love. If you say that you are a believer and that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and do not walk in love, you deceive yourself. John says throughout his 1 John here, he says, if a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. I want you to just focus on the truth of that for a moment. There is no justification to not love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you are harboring resentment, unforgiveness, anything really that is contrary to the love of God that is outlined in Corinthians 13, and you choose to continue to hold on to that, then you are in jeopardy of hellfire. Period. I don't care what you think you've done for the Lord. I don't care how much money you've given. None of that matters if you have not love. The truth of that has to sink in to your heart before it's too late. The stuff that Christians so-called get wrapped up in is so insignificant and unimportant when your very lives hang in the balance between life and death. There is a church that's called the Church of Philadelphia, and it is the Church of Brotherly Love, and it is a church that never lost its love for God, never lost its love for one another, and has always kept to the Word of God. That is the characteristics of someone that is part of that church. If your life doesn't match those characteristics, then for you to consider yourself part of that, I don't care where you attend church, you are kidding yourself. You are fooling yourself. And when you go through that first John and you see the black and whiteness of what John is preaching, it is a call for you to consider your heart. Now, before I go over to John 4, I don't know why I like this chapter so much, or this particular book, but I do like it. I was talking to a gentleman this week about Christians, so-called, that seek to continuously justify themselves when it comes to, they know what's right to do, but they choose to do what they want to do anyway, and then they just justify themselves in it. Or they've been caught in that justification and they instead of just repenting, they continue to justify themselves in it. That's what pride is. Ask yourself, is God going to allow pride in heaven again? So if that is your nature, do you think you're on the right path? No, you're not. I'll tell you right now, you're not. And as I was talking to him, this scripture flashed to me, and the goodness of God is really unfathomable. When Brother Steve and Brother Davey were talking, I forgot which one specifically mentioned the fact of how, I think it was Brother Steve, how desperately we need a Savior. See, when you see yourself for who you are and what you are, and understand that there is no hope save for Jesus Christ, and that you desperately need the love and mercy and grace and forgiveness of God, else there is just no hope. And then you see that God, knowing that about you, has already provided that for you, then that is awesome. That is awesome. So I want to draw a comparison here. So you get face-to-face with correction. You get face-to-face with something that gets you, you just want to get peeved about who they think they are. Don't they know this? Look, I get it. I have once in a while done it. That's a fib. I've done it a lot. But if God has already made a way, knowing that that is our nature and knowing that we need help to deal with that, to have forgiveness for that, if he's already made a way for it, why would we want to fight to hold on to that which is corrupted and going to go to the dust anyway? Why not embrace the deliverance and freedom that God has already made a way for? Let me read this to you. Chapter 1, verse 5. This then, 1 John. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ and his son cleanses us from all sin. How awesome is that? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, to justify yourself is to really say you have no sin. Think on that for a moment. But when you're being confronted with something and you're being corrected, or the Bible is showing you something, or the Spirit of God is showing you something, or your brother or your sister or your disciple is showing you something, and you don't like it and you want to justify yourself in it, you are essentially saying you have no sin. Now look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's look at the contrast here. We have a choice. We can justify ourselves, stay in pride, and go to hell. Or we can embrace the grace and gift and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, which he put in place for us. Which would you rather have? If we confess our sins, yes, I am guilty of exactly what you are saying. Please forgive me. How hard is that? How difficult is that? But yet, most Christians find that an impossibility, because they have not really received Jesus as their Lord. If you remember what Brother Steve said in his sermon this morning, he said, maybe you haven't even accepted Christ. Think of it. My wife and I are married. She took my name. If she honors that commitment, then she did it in earnest. Amen? If she dishonors that commitment, then she didn't do it in earnest, did she? No. Well, if you claim to be a believer and you claim to be a Christian and you claim to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you do not show honor to that commitment by obeying him, believing him, and walking as he walked, then you need to take a hard look whether or not you even made that commitment. Very clearly here, we have two choices. You are going to be confronted by the Holy Ghost, by God's Word, and by your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and by your authority, with things in yourself that need adjustment. Mostly, it's those daggum prideful attitudes that want to come up. Now, you can choose to hold on to those. You can, man. That's free will. That's the way it works. And you can feel justified in yourself, and you can feel that you don't deserve to be treated that way. I mean, you could just hang on to that, man, and just let resentment build, and you'll go to hell. Or, you can do what this says right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? Hold it against us for the next time? No, it doesn't say that, does it? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if I'm looking at option A or option B, that second option really looks pretty good. The only thing that will keep you from choosing that option is pride. The only thing is pride. And pride is not worth going to hell over. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the who? The humble. And it takes humility to say, you are right, I am wrong, please forgive me. But if he says he gives grace to the humble, and that's where salvation is, doesn't it make sense to make use of that? To receive that? To accept that? What's the big deal? I mean, what's really the big holdup? There's none. There is absolutely no good reason not to receive the fullness of all that God has for you. But yet Christians, so-called, continuously choose pride. And one of the main reasons they do is because they've never known what true love is. Because their pastors teach philios love, not agape love. Thank God for men and women that know the difference and preach agape love and walk in agape love and share agape love and are endeavoring to teach us how to live and walk and share agape love. Amen? Now, I'll go over to John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We sing a song on this, starting verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Look at that just for a moment. The black and whiteness of 1 John, really the Bible is all cut and dry. But he puts it in such a way, the Lord, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. It's all God's word. There is no ambiguity there. There's no way around it. There is, it is or it isn't. It's done. Right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Yeah, that's love. And it wasn't because we were good. It wasn't because we were righteous. It wasn't because we were holy. It's because we needed a Savior. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Real quick, over in Romans 5, just as another sort of bookend to what this is saying. Sorry, I'll wiggle the mic here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. That's love. That is love. To extend mercy, grace, long-suffering to those that hate you, that's love. That's love. That's what God did for us. And you know what he asks of us? To do the same exact thing, one for another. It continues on here. Verse 9 again, back over in 1 John. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Very simple. If God loved us with that love, then we need to love one another with the same love. Over in chapter, in chapter 2 of 1 John, I'm bouncing around a little bit here, he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Speaking of Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? In love. It is beyond gut check time. That's a sports term. It is beyond gut check time for Christians, so-called, or those people that claim to be Christians. It is beyond gut check time, because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And the churches are leading them on the path. It's gut check time. You have to look, or you don't have to. I encourage you to look at your heart and examine yourself and see where you are. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to get where you need to be. Whether that is directly, whether that's through his word, whether that's through your discipler, however it happens, through the dog, I don't care. But get you where you need to be. To walk as you ought to be walking. Not in self-righteousness. Not in pride. Not in self-justification. But rather in humility. And in the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ. Back to chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us all of the Spirit. It just goes on. I mean, you guys can read that later in your own time. It's just... I am personally excited and terrified at what's to come. I don't know what percentage is what. And I don't know how else to say it, but I'm both excited and terrified. I know this, when fear tries to come on me, I have some awesome promises of God to hold on to. And I'll give you this one that was given to us by Brother Davey. God has not brought you here to fail. There have been many, many challenging messages delivered basically every week. Every week is a challenge. Every week is a challenge. And you can listen to that, and you can allow fear and unbelief and doubt to come in and rob you of the promises that are in the challenge. Or you can hold on to the goodness, the knowledge of the goodness of God, and see the prize that's at the end of the challenge. The deliverance, the freedom, the healing, the power. You can look at those and take them, you know, two different ways. I hope and I pray you see the challenge for what it is. It's another step to getting where you need to be in the Lord. And what I personally hold on to oftentimes when I would want to get sort of a woe is me, and I thank God that I have several people that do not allow me to live there in any span of time. God has not brought me here to fail. And God has not brought you here to fail. That's not the God we serve. Do you understand me? That is not the character and nature of Jesus Christ. He has given us all we need to succeed in Him. The choice is yours. You embrace all that He has for you. You don't endure it. You don't suffer it. You embrace it. You embrace it. And then watch the miracles of God start to happen in your life. I am both excited and terrified. But I know this, that the goodness of God overcomes all that other stuff. And I can trust Jesus. And I hope that you come to the same realization in your walk with Him as well.
Yeah.
be. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Love.
1 John 4:7-8.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.